Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I certainly can let you know my feelings when I have a complaint. And I certainly had a complaint about the way everybody was handling that debacle at the end of the Oscars telecast, the Academy Awards. But I will also tell you, I am greatly satisfied and pleased when people make it right. And there was some proper journalism that resulted in the company that screwed this up, PricewaterhouseCooper, coming out with a second apology, which is pretty unprecedented when a company releases an apology and then releases another apology. Here's a recap of where I was coming from yesterday.
All right.
I was bitching and bitching and bitching and probably getting a little more upset than I needed to about the fact that Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, in my perception, were completely thrown under the bus by the initial reactions and even the post-Oscar reaction that occurred before the wee hours of the morning. The following day, you got an apology and the smattering of stories about the fact that they were given the wrong envelope. But then, as this grew hair, apparently there were more people that felt the way I felt. Mm-hmm. And certainly, perhaps, the machinery of Hollywood took a hold and, you know, got to PricewaterhouseCooper, did the investigative journalism, and more information came out resulting in a second apology from The Hollywood Reporter. I hold this in my hot little
hat. Yes.
The Wall Street Journal says that Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway might have been given the wrong envelope because the man who's entrusted with keeping everything straight was preoccupied with Twitter.
Oh, boy. Mm.
There you go. Yeah, there it is.
Twitter.
His name is Brian Cullinan. Sounds like an Irishman. Hey, who screwed up the Oscars? His big name was Cullinan. Anyway, he's a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. He's a partner. So you know what that means. In the world of professionals, a partner in a law firm, when you basically make partner, you go,
you're done.
F it. Yeah. I'm done. Don't
set
have to
for
work,
life.
Work
love
anymore.
To send a tweet upon a smartphone.
Because he's so excited being around celebs. Anyway, the accounting firm that counts the votes. He was apparently tweeting like a madman. Yeah. Backstage. He's since deleted those tweets. What a worm.
Delete.
A little worm.
I wonder if I delete it, if I won't be in trouble then. Take it away.
There's a screenshot online of when he took of Emma Stone backstage after she won Best Actress. So I bet as we got down to the nitty-gritty, I bet he was very, very excited.
Sure.
That's the moment when he probably should have been prepping the envelope for Best Picture, so maybe he was distracted. The Oscars are notoriously secretive about the results, and Brian and his partner Martha Ruiz may have been the only two to actually know the results. They each have suitcases with an identical set of envelopes at opposite ends of the stage. Martha gave her Best Actress envelope to Leonardo DiCaprio to present to Emma, and she kept it after winning. That's Emma Stone.
Yes.
Great writing again. Give the interns the job of writing online stories.
That's right.
Then Brian mistakenly gave Warren and Faye the other Best Actress envelope instead of the Best Picture one. Well, Wall Street Journal, Hollywood Reporter, then don't lead with might have been given the wrong envelope.
You know, no, just it's absolute.
Confirm the fact that PricewaterhouseCooper came out and they, you know, they owned it.
What right? I wonder about is Seamus O'Twitter when he's off stage, right? And he realizes that they're giving the final award of the evening and he still has an envelope with him. When does it, what
maybe
is it going to be in
problem.
That? Yeah.
Let me read you the official apology from PwC, as they're called.
I like what you use the initials.
PwC takes full responsibility for the series of mistakes and breaches of established protocols during last night's Oscars. PwC partner Brian Cullinan, they finally threw the guy
finally
under the bus.
Names.
That's what I wanted. I wanted a name. Mistakenly handed the backup envelope for actress in a leading role instead of the envelope for Best Picture to presenters Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. Once the error occurred, protocols for correcting it were not followed through quickly enough by Mr. Cullinan or his partner, which is basically telling us they not only handed them the wrong envelope, but then when the S hit the fan, they were so busy maybe thinking about getting a tweet of a celebrity, they didn't actually enlighten Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, who were left out to hang
8 seconds
by everybody.
Since that mic went on, we timed it yesterday.
Yep. 8 seconds.
8 seconds.
We are deeply sorry for the disappointment suffered by the cast and crew of La La Land. See, the overall result of this ain't that big a deal,
in my
opinion.
What they found out
who got the best picture, no big whoop. What I was pissed off at was the ageism that immediately
and the coverage that followed it and the people pointing the fingers at them. But you know what Jimmy Kimmel said that was really actually quite brilliant? He says, you know what? It's just an award show. That's all it is.
It's just like it's just a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Or it's just all that stuff, all the fluff. We are deeply sorry for the disappointment suffered by the cast and crew of La La Land and Moonlight. We sincerely apologize to Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, Jimmy Kimmel, ABC, and the Academy, none of whom was at fault for last night's errors. That's all I wanted.
And you know what? That's perfect. They handled it well. And also,
may I add something to the story?
Yes, please do.
Because, like a true professional, I've read many an article about what went down. A, PricewaterhouseCooper, or one of the guys, one of the actual people on site, asked if they could tweet, asked the Academy if they could tweet during the program. They told them no. No tweeting.
Oh, that's a great detail.
Yes.
Oh, boy. They were told they couldn't tweet.
No.
And he's a partner. And he said,
you're not going to tell me how to tweet and tweet and tweet.
We'll ask for forgiveness after the fact. He tweeted 3 minutes before the Best Picture. Like, that was his last tweet. He had deleted 3 minutes before the Best Picture was to be announced.
And you know
that
what?
Huge.
Tweeting at the end of the night because he thought at this point, what are they going to do?
Or tweeting while driving.
Exactly.
Anything's possible. Mm-hmm. You're at a live show, for God's sakes. You can't multitask.
Let me wrap up the apology from PwC. We wish to extend our deepest gratitude to each of them for the graciousness they displayed during such a difficult moment. That's an added sentence that
that's
I approve
good.
Of. Because I thought Warren Beatty in particular showed a tremendous amount of poise and grace under the circumstances where he was boned.
Movie star. He handled it like a movie star.
But he handled it like a non-petty movie star. You know what he handled it like? A guy that belongs there.
Yep.
And there would have been smaller celebrities. I'm trying to think of...
Sorvino?
I'm trying to think who would have been petty and nasty in that situation. You know, I didn't do it. Warren Beatty didn't go there. He just explained himself.
He did.
And the last sentence, for the past 83 years, the Academy has entrusted PwC with the integrity of the awards process during the ceremony. At last night, we failed the Academy. That is is called an apology. That is called responsibility. And it is over. Except for what Oscars.
It's almost,
I didn't read
you
that
know
part.
What?
That's pretty amazing.
It's almost like what we, as if they listened yesterday, because it's exactly what you called for.
It was really, I just didn't like seeing
you know
somebody
who could not
else
have handled
take the
it.
Blame for something that was really egregious. Look, we have done, how many times have we been part of live events where somebody screws something up? Well, whose ass is it? Who's going to get blamed? It's the guys out there. They wonder
on
why
stage.
We get wrapped up and we get uptight. Because the fact is that we're the ones that are, you know, the face of
remember
it.
Remember when Pony had stomach problems during our live show in at the State Theater?
Yes.
Where we were yelling and yelling and yelling. And the poor man lost a date with a supermodel because he had to run the projector and not go on a date.
Yeah.
Only half of that happened.
Right?
Well, no, you had stomach troubles with the fact that you hadn't eaten and you started shaking.
Oh, well, yeah.
Am I the only
but
one
that's
that
what happens when you don't
was
eat.
That when I was clicking, when I had the clicker
Yeah, you
setup?
Had a light set up.
Yeah.
Remember?
But I mean, I thought Pony and I were...
We did.
Eventually,
really
you worked it out.
The ramp up was like a 12-round heavyweight championship fight.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting to that part.
Yeah. Do you block out these horrible moments
maybe
in life?
I might. I don't bark. I don't. You know what I don't block out? I don't block out Reno. Reno 1.
Yeah, yeah, Reno 1.
Where the sound wasn't, and Pony and it was 2. Just left. But
that was a victory,
no, but
though.
Pony, please, please enlighten.
No, what happened is,
I don't
that
really have a memory.
We were doing the slideshow, and we were all emphasizing the fact that
it was
timing,
during
timing,
a dry
timing.
Run.
It was during
a
rehearsal.
Oh, so it wasn't the actual show.
No.
That's why I don't remember.
No,
it,
we geared,
I mean,
up
it
to
was
it.
Fine during the real show. I remember the real show in Reno when you know,
we had to reboot the computer.
When Carl Cannabis was so stoned that he didn't, realize that we had no sound and just left our wonderful animated short that we put a lot of time and money into, left it going.
Mike, rehearsal had gone long when we were at the State Theater, and we looked at Pony, and Pony does not get aggressive or angry at any point in his life outside of when he hasn't eaten for 6 hours straight.
Right. Yeah. He has no stomach,
and
so there's nowhere to store food.
He's a waif to begin with, so we looked at him, and he's shaking. He goes, I need to eat something quick. Like he was about to go into some sort of shock, but clearly it's not diabetic.
So what we did is we took a razor blade, and we cut.
Was I there for this?
Yes.
This? Yeah, all there right, was no escape. We took a Snickers bar and cut it wafer thin. And put it under his tongue to dissolve. And do you remember how we solved the system?
Yeah, I grabbed my belt and put it under his teeth.
1940s technology. You actually had a button that would trigger a light bulb that used to be used to schedule people to come down from their dressing room to come on stage. And so you would click a button, a light would flash, and Pony would advance.
It was Morse code.
Yeah, it was.
And for the actual show, he did real well.
It worked out.
Perfect.
Swimmingly.
Another perfect show.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. Here it is. I get, and the reason somebody explained to me, maybe you guys can do a psychoanalysis on me. Why does this satisfy me? I have nothing to do
with
the Academy. Why does this reading this wonderful responsibility, acceptance of responsibility.
Twofold.
Why does that make me feel so
twofold.
Satisfied?
Because A, you like Warren Beatty. And you didn't want to see anything bad happen to him. But more so, he was the face of the scandal. He was the face of the screw-up because he was up on stage. And as you said, when something goes wrong on stage, whoever is on stage is the face of that problem. They're going
That's
to be
wrong.
Associated with it.
You're wrong.
And you're pleased
to
see
him?
I
don't care about Warren Beatty. I love... No, you've got it wrong.
Okay.
And you more than anyone else should probably hear why I like it.
Okay.
I like it because I love people taking responsibility for screw-ups.
Mm.
I love immediate and thorough responsibility. It wasn't done yesterday. It was done after the pressure got on them. But it doesn't matter to me because it's soon enough after the event that the responsibility. We live in a world, and I really see it all the time, I've grown up with it, and it's gotten worse. You can point to so many different things. People don't own things, and I love taking ownership. It's one of the things that I just love to see. I love people that own a screw-up. If they make a mistake, hey, I did this, it won't happen again. I love that. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Warren Beatty, I didn't care about the – I just like the fact that a wrong was righted.
But a sliver of what I was saying is that he was yesterday sort of being blamed for it, and today he's not. And that is something you like.
It could have been anybody. The fact that they were older and that there was that
struck a nerve with you yesterday.
Yeah,
sure.
It did that, because I don't like ageism. I obviously, because I live with it every day.
Well, Mike, you like it less and less every day.
I do. I truly
do. It wasn't a big deal 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's great. I'm looking at this crafted apology by PricewaterhouseCooper, and you know what? They have a chance probably of saving the relationship. They might not, but they could because they own this. I think the way they did it was great. Somebody, there's one more thing I think we need. In the event that it is this douche,
a made-for-TV movie?
I think if it's this guy, Brian Cullinan, you need a statement from him.
Yeah.
You need him to eventually
It'll
own
be on
the
his W-2. And he says terminated.
Yeah, maybe he could tweet it.
Oscar, if what you read...
Unemployment.
If it gets corroborated, what
yeah.
you read,
yeah.
they that he asked and they
Google
said no.
Google never forgets. You can go back and look at the tweets.
But you know what, Brian? Brian, you really should know this. The best seat for the Oscars is in your own living room.
No more backstage for you, Pally.
Pally, Brian, pal.
That's it. And you know, and the great thing for a lot of people is that Moonlight is on pay-per-view.
Yes.
And I got a chance to look at it last night.
Oh, how about you?
Which is great. Yep.
What'd you think, Mike?
Let's start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
At least once in his life, every man is a genius. And I'll tell you something, Rube. It's going to be more than once in your life for you. It's going to be a number of times because you've got it. And you're stuck with it. And I don't care if you wanted to get rid of it. You couldn't. It's always going to be there. Now, I know there's no formula for it. I just don't know how you do it. And I'm not curious, mind you, because I want to use the material. I want you to understand that. I'm just curious because I don't know how you do it.
I think it's that I look at my whole life, and I see the awful, terrible things in my life and turn it into something funny.
But what about the first few one-liners? Were they strong enough? I was a little...
Strong enough?
No.
If they were any stronger, you'd hurt yourself. They're marvelous, you daffy bastard. Leave them alone. They're beautiful. I remember a man said, listen to me. Listen to me. A man said something very profound some years ago, which I later originated. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, you want to know how I know it's so good?
Yes.
Because I envy you. I hate you, but I envy you because it's purity, it's marvelous, it's humor based on you. No one else could do it but you. I wouldn't lie. I wouldn't lie to you, Roop. Now, look, this weekend would be a perfect time for you to come out to the house, if you care to, and we can hash it around. Only because I really want to know how you do it. Now, there'll be some people there, but we can still work. What do you say?
It sounds great.
Wonderful.
Could I bring somebody?
A young lady?
A very special young lady.
Of course. I'd like to meet her.
It's impossible. Don't
Rupert.
You understand? What?
Rupert, who are you talking to?
Mom!
What is it?
Please stop calling me.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Man, we should sell copies of The King of Comedy on
our
website.
I know.
That montage, you did a little editing together of clips from that movie, and that is so totally cringeworthy with the deluded guy in his basement.
He says a very special young lady.
Oh, so odd. I get a Maze vibe like you wouldn't believe. Live from the Pfeiffer Studios in Washington, D.C., The Mike O'Mara Show is on the air. The Mike O'Mara Show, a national podcast and radio show with an incredibly loyal following around the world. TMOS listeners get it. If you're here, you do too. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. Wide Open Wednesday tomorrow. We blew it last week. Tomorrow we'd like to get to
Mañana.
888-920-6673 or MikeOmaraShow.com. Online, on air, on now. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand, the total solution for health, fitness, and weight loss. Convenient access to over $6,000 worth of the most effective fitness and nutrition programs ever created from world-class trainers, proven to deliver amazing results. Beachbody On Demand is the largest community of its kind, dedicated to making all your fitness goals achievable. Proven programs from world-class trainers, all accessible on any web-enabled device. No DVDs to worry about. Use it wherever you go. Programs like P90X, Insanity, 21-Day Fix Extreme, T25, 3-Week Yoga Retreat, and so much more. You're going to get access to resistance, cardio, yoga, dance, over 500 workouts. All of them.
They're all there.
At one low price.
Yes.
And for nutrition, Beachbody On Demand includes Fixate. That is a cooking show. I love this.
It's so cool.
I love their cooking show. It teaches you how to cook meals that are healthy, delicious, and simple. Beachbody On Demand is a brand new service, but already has almost 1 million members. TMOS listeners can claim a 30-day free membership. Just text TMOS to 303030 and get 30 days of full access to this platform free. Again, text TMOS to 303030. Beachbody On Demand. Check it out and do that.
You'll love it.
Got a call last evening from Oscar Santana, who caught me in a moment of happiness. Don't get happy is my philosophy.
Euphoria.
But I had a moment. I was very happy to report. I told all you about my health issues after I had the hip done, where I got what really, I don't know if I ever realized how sticky a wicket it was, a pulmonary embolism. Potentially, especially, you know, when you have something like Bill Paxton, who died after surgery, you wonder what happened there. It can be a very, that can't be, I'm not going to dance around anymore. It was a very serious situation, and I was treated, and they fixed it. I no longer have it.
But it was scary, because leading up to yesterday, you had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know. I felt better. My body told me that... that I think I was out of the woods with it, but you don't know until they do that scan.
Right.
And it's a pain in the ass to do that scan. I'm happy to say I don't have to do that again, which is great. And it's gone. And I said, so what's this? You're off your stuff. You're done.
Yeah.
They do it that quick. Just
What they will do now, and in the event that I get this right hip, because I eventually want to be able to move the way I want to move.
Sure.
So the bone on the right side hasn't changed. I'm still dealing with that. I will ramp up with the same meds for the surgery, take it for about a month afterwards, and that's the protocol. And I had a lot of different doctors telling me that, you know, in the event that there was a serious issue that was continuing, that I'd have to do this and do this and do this. I did something that I rarely do yesterday, and I subtracted from my terrible health situation. I subtracted a doctor's appointment.
Hey!
I subtracted a medication. It was really fun to do that. It was great to wake up this morning and take vitamins for a change.
Yes.
Because that's back to what I normally do with, you know, with the majority of my life. That's what I deal with. I felt great to have that moment. Do I have a long way to go? Yeah, I got a long way to go. I got a lot of stuff I have to deal with. But yes, yesterday was one of those moments where I allowed myself for about a minute and a half to get happy.
This is the first step in many steps in the right direction. Perfect. I mean, it's so good.
I appreciated the call from both of you. It was very, very nice of you to do that. And
top of mind yesterday, because
cool.
I know that you were, there was a certain hesitancy. I know that you could have gotten your results earlier, and you kind of held off a little bit. So I know there had to have been some reticence on your part to find out.
No, what I explained this to my wife. What it was as much as I'll talk about don't get happy and all that,
right.
I have a philosophy now, and I try to do it more, that I'm trying in my life to worry about things that I have control over. And my feeling was,
that is
smart. If I went to a chart and I looked at results and I saw something that A, I probably am not skilled enough to interpret myself, and B, something that I don't know what the protocol will be if it is bad, I couldn't do anything. So I wanted to be sitting there and get the news from a doctor so that if there was an issue, he'd tell me what the strategy was and what we do, and it'd probably be a better thing than spending an entire week worrying about it.
You're on Centrum Silver, right? That's your regimen?
That's one of them. I take a Triple Flex, I take a Centrum Silver, I take magnesium, and I take a regular strink aspirine.
No, vitamin E? No vitamin E?
No vitamin E, no.
I take that for fatty liver.
My liver's actually in better shape than yours, I think. Your liver's
been
bad.
It's been working hard.
Your liver's been bad
hasn't
your liver been fatty since you were in your 20s?
Early 30s,
you told
I think.
Me a doctor. Didn't the doctor tell you to that? You
it
know,
was early 30s,
you had to
I think.
Stop drinking?
No, he didn't say that. Or I didn't hear that.
I remember a physical a long time ago where a doctor was kind of saying something about your liver way, way back.
Yeah,
way back
but the vitamin E helps that. Liver's in good shape.
How long ago are we talking, though?
Probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. It's not longer than that.
Mike, I remember.
I've worked with you for a long time, Rob. I think you're softening it by saying 10 years.
I got my driver's license. And the first place I went was the clinic. And
didn't we have a discussion back on the old Don and Mike show where you had been to a physical and you said something about the doctor said something about
no,
that?
No, I know it was discovered when I was battling colitis or the gut trouble. That's when it was discovered. So that would put it about 2008. So about 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it still fatty?
It is moist. I know that. It has a delightful.
Oh.
It's marbled.
Did they ever say something about drinking, though? Didn't they?
Well,
say
they always say stuff about drinking.
How dare they?
Yeah.
No, they really don't.
No, they do.
I've never, and all my, with all my health issues, I've never had a doctor say anything to me about that.
Really?
And I know I've never had anything.
Do you answer the question truthfully, though? Every doctor asks you, how many drinks a week do you have?
Yeah.
I don't, probably. Okay. I answer it as I
know most doctors double it.
Because the question is always, if I remember it, the question is always framed, how many drinks a day or a week?
Oh, no. I get a week, and it says.
Yeah, I think it's weekly.
So you're like 1 to 5, 5 to 10,
right.
20, 10 to, like they give you a 10 scale after 1 to 5.
I find the question extraordinarily difficult to answer because I will have a night where I have 10, and I will have a month where I will have none.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a difficulty.
So what do you answer?
I don't remember what I say, but I probably
one
say
five.
Three to five drinks a week, probably, something like that.
Oh, I would say 3 to 5 a day for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really want... Would you put that on the medical chart?
Oh, my doctor... Yeah, you know what? Right now, my doctor knows exactly what I do. I probably lied in the past, but yeah, he knows. Yeah. He knows.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how I would answer that, but the good news is that... You know, I like my me and Julio doctor down.
Your
by
chances
the,
are strong. Yeah. What's the runway for a new hip?
The runway will be answered next Tuesday.
We shall rebuild him.
Sadly, it is a
Oscar
Harrison
said,
Ford runway.
Oscar, thinking about the business, said, don't get it done until after the November show.
No,
it would be great, Mike. Could you get it done on December 26th?
Carla pointed out to me, I've been living with this for 2 years.
That's not true.
This is not something that I put on a...
Just
on a
give us
level.
3 months before the live show. I think we'll be in the clear.
You know, the live show is not a priority for me.
Yes.
I hate it's to say that, but I have to be honest.
To
I am actually discussing my daughter's graduation from college. My issue is fixing myself.
May?
That is, no, I have to figure out when. Look, if he says we can do it then, I'm going to say.
So
no.
You could go into surgery next week?
No. Don't think so.
No.
Don't think that's going to happen because they schedule far out. But I don't know. I will have an answer. I'm going back to another doctor that was my original hip
guy.
I'm
excited for you, Mike.
I made that decision yesterday. I don't know.
Life will be better with the new hip.
And if for some reason, God forbid, you can't make the live show in New Orleans,
no, well,
we'll have Rob Ford.
Well, stop with the live show for f***ing sake. I am going to make the live show. The live show I was talking about.
You just said you didn't
Oscar.
Care about it.
Oscar, you said to me, do it after that. I'm not going to wait another year.
I did not
year.
Say, I, Mike,
I'm
I did not,
not
say
wait
that.
8 months.
I said, give us 3 months prior to the live show. Get like in recovery then. That's
well,
what
there's
I said.
No, I'm not, they're not going to tell me that the surgery is in August.
Yeah.
They're not going to, it's not going to happen that way.
All
if
right.
The surgery, if it's that close, then I will wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get it done before. Why am I having this discussion?
Because we're news. Family.
Yes.
I'm having this discussion to tell you that I got some good news.
It's
yesterday.
All good Woo! News. That's great.
That's it.
Mike, we just want to talk about next steps.
Why I
just
don't feel joy. That's why I'm never allowed to feel joy, for Christ's sake. I don't feel joy. I feel like I've got a mission that is not accomplished, and my mission has to be accomplished. That's
but the first step to the mission is
critical.
Accomplished.
Mission critical.
And a
Here's
huge step.
Let's say my body is Apollo 13. Okay.
Okay.
My Uh-oh. Body was going to go to the moon and land on the moon. That was the plan. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Then everything went to S after the liftoff. All right,
Fort
after
Myers, liftoff, we have a problem.
We have a problem. So I had to come back.
Yeah.
Right?
I
had to come back. And the only difference between me and Tom Hanks is that, you know, Tom Hanks is not going to get another chance to go to the moon. I'm taking it up there again. I'm going again. I'm going again.
You're John Glenn.
Of the
That's
risk.
Right.
I'm taking the risk, and I'm going to get her done. That's all there. And it came to me. There was clarity. Suddenly, the doctor I've bitched about, I suddenly said, you know, he's being kind of hesitant because he is careful.
He cares.
He doesn't.
He's
I don't
not a chop
say,
shop.
I don't want to say cares, but he is cautious. That's the word. And that
and you don't
like
want caution right now. You don't want caution right now.
No,
you
I
want
do
every-
want caution.
Oh, okay. This is the
Did
guy.
Did you hear
want-
what I just said? Are you listening
yes,
to the show?
I am listening
right
to the
now?
Show, but I know
okay,
that you...
I said he's cautious, and because of that, I'm going back to him.
To get the green light, because he doesn't have the green light yet.
He did the first one, and I think there's some continuity by knowing me and getting that done.
Is the left hip usually the same as the right hip on the certain individual, muscle tone-wise, as far as the architecture of the actual area? I know that
I have
a human.
No idea.
You know, he's gearing up for a magnificent insult, so you should play along.
That is not the case, Mike.
I think what I'm getting from that is, what, do I teeter when I walk? Is that, I mean, what is that question?
My question is,
have you been hobbling?
Is the one leg like atrophied? And I, you know, just like, hello, thanks, you Eddie, as I drag my foot along.
It is sad the way one leg is significantly shorter than the other, but we were able to get you that shoe with the thick heel.
Yeah, exactly. The corrective shoe.
Exactly.
My corrective shoe. No, I don't know. I think they're both okay. Look, they're both in rough shape, and you know, one's still weak, and the other one's in painful. The way it was described to me by one guy is that it's locked up.
Ah.
Ooh.
Like when you twist my right leg and you try to get it a certain distance, it doesn't go because it's bone on bone.
Ooh.
It's bone on bone. But the good news is onward and upward, and of course I will. And of course I care about the live show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just don't worry about getting something done that's going to make me feel better, because it's not going to affect the live show.
Yeah.
But if
cool.
But if I had to prioritize my life right now, getting repaired would be that supersedes.
It's also something that I think our listeners are used to.
Yes.
Some medical event, live show, medical event, live show. That's a two.
Our two live shows in the past have been.
If you remember, we raced out of the doctor's office, and Mike did a yeoman's job to show up
at Reno.
Right.
He did.
Right out of the hospital, and then our last one was a hip replacement.
Health. If my tubes, he was in bad health for a long period of time.
Mike, the word that they use in the papers is failing health.
I don't have, this is all, it's a, you know, this is really something that I am, I really want to put all this, my fantasy is that I go, after all this, I'll look at my mid-50s as a time where I, you know, needed to get stuff
a restoration.
Fixed, and then my, you know, late 50s and into my 60s are going to be, you know, trouble-free, knock on wood, but I don't know, don't get happy.
No, but it's going to be okay, and here is really the takeaway from this. You have taken the first big step to getting to where you need to be, and it's a huge step because you had to be cleared for the surgery, and there was no guarantee. You got great news yesterday. That's awesome.
And I have to say that my doctor who treated me for this little embolism thing was Dr. Julio, and Dr. Julio was spectacular. He's my new favorite doctor. Because he's thorough, and he's calm, and he's smart, and he's older, and he knows his stuff, and I liked him a lot. And he took the time, man. I wish more of them would do that. So I had a wonderful day yesterday. It was
That's very, very positive.
And now it's onward and upward. I wasn't able to thoroughly deal with the euphoria, because my middle child called me like immediately as I was leaving the doctor's office. I'll tell you all about that. Yes, it speaks to teenagers and what they're all about.
Boy, don't I know it.
You know what? You can relate. We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show. Girl, you just
don't realize. It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I can't say my name because saying my name is one of my biggest fears.
Ah, yes. We talk about biggest fears. You'll be surprised, maybe, at what my biggest fear is.
I don't think I'll be.
Also, we've got pornography for the blind. We're serious. It's a thing.
You know, we've already done the segment, and I'm still laughing.
And popular cliches. All of it is on this week's episode of the show. Check us out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
I would love to hear Tony Perkins talk about pornography
Mike,
for the blind.
It is something. Do you know how you and Oscar cringe when I say something sexy?
Yes.
I finally realized how you must feel, because Tony and Gary describe a porno.
Oh.
It's not to be missed.
Quite the experience.
Oh, my God. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Please support our show by using Amazon.com and going through our portal. It doesn't cost you a thing, and it's the best and easiest way to support TMOS. Remember, if you need it or want it, Amazon has it, and they bring it right to your door. Just go to MikeO'MearaShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website, or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. and then shop like you normally would. Shop Amazon through TMOS. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Right.
Thank you, friends. So I'm coming out of the doctor's office. I literally turned onto the road, and the phone rings.
What time is this roughly in the afternoon?
The text in the, what?
What, roughly what time in the afternoon?
I don't know.
Okay, like.
So I pull out of the doctor's office, and I get a text message, and it's my daughter. It says, Dad, my plans for spring break have fallen through. Would you mind flying me down to Florida? And of course, it's my daughter.
Yeah.
I'd love to see my daughter. It'd be great. But this is where, I had said, listen, let me know about spring break. I said it at Thanksgiving. I said it at Christmas. I said it when I was up there last week. Let me know. And she goes, yeah, I was going to go to the Keys with my my roommate, but unfortunately those plans fell through. The original plan was she was going down to the Keys with her friends, and we were going to do a weekend shot and go down there and have dinner with the kids and then head back. Well, that blew up, and now she wants to come down and visit. I realize there's nothing wrong. As a parent, you know this. There's nothing wrong with being a second choice.
No.
There's really nothing
Although,
wrong.
Although, it never stops stinging, smarting a little bit when you're the backup plan. Because that's simply what you are.
There are two things at play here. I'm the second choice. I've just gotten this this news, and I'm kind of focusing on that.
Right.
And then, I said, okay, honey, listen, you're welcome anytime. I got a couple of medical things I'm dealing with the next couple of weeks. Just let me know when your spring break is. And that's when she texted me back and said, it's next week.
Oh, good. Well, that'll be good because airfares tend to get cheaper when you buy them last minute.
I know.
So you want to really, wait as long as you can.
I got so lucky on that. I can't lie. I'm not going to sit here and lie to make something sound worse than it is. No, the airfares, I don't know what it is, the pipeline to D.C. to down here. Super cheap.
Good.
And I got a good fare for it. But
it's backup plan airlines.
Carla says to me, "How come you're not in a better mood?" I say, sometimes I feel
you hate the last minute.
This is every parent's thing. Rob can relate to this. It's never ending, is it?
I mean,
you are kind of a service machine.
And
you provide services for others.
You cannot impart it to them so that it sinks in. A million times I get the text, can you pick me up at 8:30 or something like that? And I text back, where are you? Oh, well, I walked to X's house, or I'm at the rec center, and I want to tell him. I said,
because you do not have a schedule, you do not have a life,
and I want to say, boy, what if I can't? Then what happens?
Here it is.
The
day
the Leesburg Metro.
Oh, don't they have some sort of commuter train?
That day that plane is going to land.
Yeah,
it will be. I'll be out of my mind happy.
Of course you will.
I'll be absolutely what I making the arrangements, which I'm still doing, I guess, where I am right now?
Where?
And I'll say this, and I don't care if it gets back to her. I'm at the stage where, okay, I don't mind footing a little of the bill for these, but you know what? It's time to start maybe dialing in your own arrangements.
Right,
get down here and do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's dropped it in your lap.
Both of you are in the right, but you've done it to yourselves. And simply because they call does not mean you have to give them what they want.
Oscar, you are right. I am dealing with the broken home syndrome.
Yeah, well, they've got so much on you that you just got to give them everything. You get a pass. But Rob, a little Robert, you can tell him, hey man, catch a ride from their parents.
Spoken like someone who doesn't
find
have kids.
Find a ride, find a solution.
Really? You know what I mean? Absolutely.
No, I totally know what you mean, Rob. Oscar. It's his kid. His kid's somewhere
kid's
on the street.
My kid's gonna be lonely and
your kid is gonna be coming at you with a butcher knife. Norman,
I don't know. So Carla says to me when I get home, she says, "How come you're not?" Well, it's just I didn't. It's weird to
you
think
didn't
that
have
I
enough chance to be happy.
Yeah. I wanted
she
a moment to
it.
Enjoy my moment of decent health before I turned into travel agency.
You told me you needed a flight.
So I missed their childhood, Carla. Big deal.
And then I go into a depression because I start thinking about I should have been more joyful.
Oh no!
So I'm just beating. There are two parts of me that are beating the crap out of me.
Yeah, you know what you are. You are.
And then my wife gets the collateral damage, and then she gets depressed, and I have a perfectly crappy evening.
Yeah.
And I ruin it for everybody.
Oh, you are what we like to call.
That's why my philosophy is D. Capital D, capital G, capital H.
Mike,
you know?
You're a classic example of being in crisis. It's a confluence of all these things.
I'm constantly in crisis.
Yes.
And I look outside and I see these f**ks that are out there that you know what they think about? Whether they're going to go to Perkins and have pie after they play 45,000 holes of golf during the day and do dick except report about Mike O'Mara putting his poop bag in his driveway.
Oh, is there a new wrinkle?
I've got to calm down.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is the new wrinkle, Mr. Crisis?
We got another effing letter yesterday. It's like, it might be a good idea when you bring your bag of your dog bags, when you bring them back, to put them behind a bush. I put them over at the corner of the garage and then put them into the trash.
Okay.
So apparently one of them may have stayed out overnight.
How dare you?
Oh, my God. And I got a goddamn letter because of
it. And was the letter as passive as
I want to get a 68 friggin' Mustang and put it out in front of my fucking house, and I want to put it on blocks. That's what I want to do. Pony, I'm sorry. Sometimes I got to use the word.
Now,
I got to use the
word.
Was
the letter as saccharinely passive as you said it is?
It was as passive as passivity can possibly be.
Even
it was
worse.
It was not an instruction. It was a suggestion. Lick it. I want to set the neighborhood on fire.
Oh, you see, this is not good to say this on a radio show, because if, for God forbid, this happens, you're going to be...
the neighborhood catches on fire.
You're
going to
be a person of interest.
And yeah.
You're going to get a letter that says, we'd like to suggest you don't burn the neighborhood down.
Then let me personally
say...
They
made a threat!
I am saying that for comedic purposes and have no real intention of burning the neighborhood.
Mike, do you think this is on the heels of said neighbor that reported you? Maybe they take a walk every day past your house and they remember
early,
like...
before I get up. It's not before I get up. It's before I take my dogs.
Right.
Like because, let me tell you why. Because A, they get up earlier.
Well, they
the dead rise early, Mike.
They need the warmth of the sun because their body no longer manufactures it.
Exactly. And they walk their little rats on their leashes, and they take a longer walk because they have the time.
Yeah.
I take my walks, out in front, over to the right, back to the house. You don't poop and pee, you go into the laundry room. Deal with it, douche dog.
Do you think they saw the bag of feces on your roof a couple weeks ago, and then they saw the bag of feces on the driveway?
Both of you, I have to say to both of you, you ate your Wheaties today. You're being helpful because you're sharp. You know what? There is a possibility you're absolutely
right.
They maybe saw that bag on the roof, which we got down.
Wouldn't it be a great letter, though?
Days,
We'd like to suggest.
It was a couple of days. God, you got a memory. Yeah, you're right. It was a couple of days, Oscar. It was.
It would be a great letter to get. Dear resident, we would like to suggest putting your bag after your dog walk behind a bush, not on your tiled roof.
I know.
Like that was your new method, that after you pick up the poop, you're just going to throw it up there.
I was so diligent in getting the battery acid stain off of my driveway.
And you know what? That earned some applause.
Thank you.
Who says you can't remove birthmarks?
That's right.
That's what I cared
you
about.
You bring those paver guy out, and he goes, you know what? That is a great tile, and you can put dog poop there anytime.
Right. I was. Look, sometimes I think there are two things here.
Yes.
I'm insanely jealous of these people.
Yes.
Who are in better physical condition
for now
than I am, and they are all 10 to 20 years older than I am.
For now.
Secondly, they are in better financial position than I am.
Yes.
I will be working, and this is good news for the listeners, I'll be working till I'm 93 years old. That's just the way it's going to be.
Here.
I'll be doing this. That's the way it goes.
Maybe there.
Do I like doing the show? I love doing the show. I love doing the show more than I like being out there. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, if I gave this up, there would be a gulf and a void in my life that I don't ever see myself giving up. I love, love, love doing this. But at the same time, I am jealous because they get to focus on, this is what they care about, their golf, their meals, and their dogs. And pretty much that's it. That's all. So when I get a snarky passive-aggressive letter,
yeah.
It's just, it lights my candle a
of
little
course,
bit,
because they're looking for trouble because it's all they've got.
Who has the time? And I'll give you an example. This past weekend, I'm on my little front stoop, and to call it a stoop is a stretch, but it's a landing above the ground, and it's something that you can stand in front of my house, right?
Technically, I know what you're talking about, and I haven't even seen your house,
yeah.
But it is a stoop. You're on the stoop.
Yes. And some hoity-toity guy with a pipe walks by and he says, afternoon. I said, afternoon. And I'm getting ready to go out on the bike, right? For like a quick 20-minute bike ride. And he says, you can get those removed. Just call into the city. And he points at a street sign that has stickers on back of it. And I said,
oh, like almost like a graffiti gesture when people put a sticker on the back of the street.
Just little stickers.
Sign.
Like, yeah. Stupid.
No, I know anybody that's been in D.C. sees any city in America, see it down in the Village in New York.
Yeah.
What we've got is they're promoting their events. They're stickers in many
they're
cases.
I never would have noticed them, right?
Right.
And you're in a college town and you're near Georgetown.
Yeah.
So you got them all over the place. So he wants them removed. Oh.
I said,
don't want to kill the guy.
I said, I'm sorry. And he does what is not a turnaround, a big U to show him he's got a pipe and a jacket on. And then he goes, see there? Those stickers need to be removed. You need to call. It's in front of your property. And I said,
wow.
All right, like, man.
You put them up.
Or I'm the sticker keeper. I'm just trying to live my life. I've never even noticed them.
How old was the guy?
I'm the sticker keeper. Do not put a sticker on the sign without my approval.
So let me get
probably
this
straight. Probably 80s. Solid 80s.
So of course he was. Straight. He is such a dick that he's telling you to take the stickers on a light post that somebody else effed with.
Not even a light post. I would see that. I'd be like, oh, that doesn't really look right. It's a street sign that says parking zone permit only. The little flat street signs that have a silver backing.
So it's on the back of the sign.
The back of the sign.
First of all, that's not your responsibility.
Right.
That's the city's responsibility. And secondly, they're everywhere, and he wants it's something that sticks in. What a douche. People are such
He doesn't even live on my block.
They're such a
Well, he doesn't like seeing it.
He loves walking and making people happy.
Dude. Yeah. So then I'm like, whoa, what did I miss? I start driving around the neighborhood because I get into this, like, riding with my bike.
Sure.
Into this, like,
looking at every sign?
Every sign.
But not the sign, the back of the sign.
And, Mike, I probably passed a total, I would say, of 30 signs, including stop signs, right?
Right.
The man is on a mission because there's only two signs with stickers on the back.
Wow.
Yeah. God. Oh, the little things.
Right?
It's the little things.
Mine and one next to Georgetown, like right on that same street.
Yeah. Never trust a guy with a pipe.
You come to a realization that people care about their own thing and they don't care about anybody else's thing, you know.
And their world gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And by the time you're 80 and smoking a pipe, what are you focusing on? Parking signs. That's all you've got.
Here's the problem with what this guy did to Oscar. I've been the receiving end of that. I know exactly. So it's a hit and run. By the time he does it, by the time it's even feasible that you're getting pissed off,
he's
8 miles away.
Yeah.
He's gone. That dick. You know, the difference between you and me, I'd be looking for him.
No,
I'd be looking for him. And I'd
put
be
a
going,
sticker
you know,
on his dog.
Yeah, run him down.
And because I'd have 50 different things that I'd want to say. Something along the lines of, I got a suggestion. Why don't you take the back of that pipe that you're smoking and scrape those little signs, those little stickers off the sign, Grandpa. You want to do that? Okay. Seriously, why don't you take your long fingernails that'll, by the way, continue to grow after you're in the casket.
Yellowing fingernails? Why
don't you take your yellowing, that's better. Take your yellowing claws, Dracula, and scrape the back of those stickers off that road sign. You want to do that for me, Pop? You want me to fly up there this weekend? We'll find that guy? Okay,
well,
I'm ready.
I think you should just run him over with his bike.
It was twofold.
Right.
One, he talked to me like I was an idiot. Two, he talked to me and wasted my time about something that I would say maybe 1% of the people care about.
I know. That's what they do.
You know?
Here.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you something. I'm going to leave the show today. This is, I bitched about a lot of things. Let me just say, when the show's over today and I walk out into my living room, I'm going to be like, honey, I'm home. That's the way I'm going to feel today. Swear to God. It's the best therapy I've had in a long time. Yeah. Old people.
Yeah.
stickers.
Might want to put that poopy on the bush. Might want to take the sticker off the red side. Yeah, you might want to jump in the casket.
We'll take a break. And speaking of getting old, seems to be the theme of today's show.
Yes.
For those of you that might be a tad forgetful, I'm going to make you feel really, really good about yourselves at my expense. We'll do that when we come back. I'm Mike O'Meara.
Wednesdays are wide open.
Do you believe in live on the Wednesday?
It's your chance to talk to Mike, Rob, and Oscar.
Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. sharp.
The number to call in is 1-888-920-MORE.
That's 888-920-6673.
It's so much fun, you may lose your mind.
Lose your mind.
Remember that magic number to have fun on your hump day.
1-888-920-MORE.
Wide open Wednesdays, only on The Mike O'Meara Show.
Welcome back to The Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. Here's a tip for you. If you want to make your business the best that it can be, then make sure to maximize every minute of every dollar, or how about every minute and every dollar? That's what I would like to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I know an easy way to do it. Stamps.com. We love it. We've told you about Stamps.com. You need to use Stamps.com. It's going to save you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. Stamps.com is the better way to get postage. Just use your computer and printer and get official U.S. postage for anything. Then the mailman picks it up. It's that simple.
Easy.
Stamps.com makes it easy. They send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage, and it helps you decide the best class of mail to use based on your needs. Goodbye, expensive postage meters. Send anything anywhere, and Stamps.com is never closed. We've used Stamps.com forever, and we will continue to use it because it's easy, convenient, and it saves us money and time. Right now, you too can enjoy stamp service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's stamps.com and enter TMOS. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Sorry about that, everybody. Been pretty ramped up during the show today. I talked about the airport debacles where your boy has been just a tad forgetful.
Hey, you left your phone everywhere. Yeah.
Tickets. So, kind of funny, then a little concerned, but really making jokes about it. This past weekend, I didn't tell this story yet. I put it on my show prep for a couple of days. Haven't gotten to it. This is the forgetful thing going on once again. We go to the ball game. You know, I'm a big spring training baseball fan.
Oh,
doing that. Mm-hmm. It's my number one activity down here in Southwest Florida. I really enjoy it. We take the lad out to the game. We're going to do the same thing today. Very special day. We love taking him out of school, bring him into the ball yard. He's young enough where we can do that. He's also young enough where we don't have to pop for a ticket for him, which is great, and sit on our laps. And there's a little play area down in the back of the stadium where Carla takes him or I take him, and he's having a great time. So we take him to the game, and everything's fine. And about midway through the game, we don't stay that long, probably 4 or 5
Does he enjoy the action on the field at all?
More so this year than the year before. Next
That's
year,
cool.
probably more so. Starting to focus on a little bit.
That's
Got
cool.
a baseball, which
Starts
is
collecting
great.
Collecting cards. Yeah, flipping cards.
It's
going
to be fun. It's fun. He seems to be into it. So Carla takes him off to the play area, and I watch about an inning of baseball.
Who are they playing?
Who were they playing the other day? I think it was the Mets.
Okay.
I think it might have been the New York Mets.
The and Metropolitans, so, Mike.
The Metropolitans. In fact, it was. I'm not thinking it was the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Glad I remembered that. Might be an accomplishment that I remember that.
Hey, Mike, every bit helps.
So we get done with the game, at least my part. I decide to walk down into right field where Carl is with the little guy, and he's playing out on the grass out there. And I'm like, you guys ready to roll? And she's like, yeah, you ready to go? I thought you were going to go back to the seat. No, I said, I've seen enough. That's it. Got the starters. Got to look at the starters. Let's head out. So we head out, and I say to Carla, I said, do you have the keys, by the way? I reached into my pocket. And on the way over, I had also said, I must have left my phone in the car.
Oh.
Never even crossed my mind that this might have been me. So she said, no, I think you have the keys. I said, no, I'm pretty sure I gave them to you when we were coming back from the car. She says, oh, God, not again. She kind of gives me that vibe. I'm like, sorry. And then so she does a beeline. She said, well, you better go back and look for them. I said, you're aware of the speed that you travel at and the speed that I travel at, right? She says, yes. I said, please, can you go check? So she flies back to where our seats are. And in these seats in the modern ballpark, you have your little cup holders.
Yeah.
And I said, they might have been in one of those, or we might have, they might have fallen. And they might, but she goes back to check. Then I walk holding the little guy's hand, and I'm waiting at one of the little outside tables. And I see her do a beeline out of the portal and head across to where she got a little snack before the game, before she got a Sammy.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, we'll see what's going on.
So you're thinking that, oh, she blew it. Yeah.
So she turns around. She's walking towards me. I said, so you left him at? No, I don't have them. And at this point, I'm like that. And I don't know what's going on. And I literally, I said, well, let's ask someone and find out what's going on. And so
God, do you know where my keys are?
Are you
then
there,
I
God,
decide
it's me,
to,
Mike.
There are, let me see, the last I checked, if you come down here to a Red Sox spring training game, they utilize the retirees to be helpful
greeters
for the fans. They're in blue shirts, light blue shirts, and they're security and
they
staff.
They have lots of room to run and dig. Yeah, and
would you like to know how many I asked where the lost and found was at the ballpark?
Yes.
Six.
And, you know, that would be a baseline question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, an easy one. Oh, everyone should know that.
Yeah, because they've got the blue shirts and the walkie-talkies, and that's all they
free.
Have.
Yeah.
They have
get
that.
What you pay for.
So anyway, we finally get one that directs
wipe
us
your seat, sir.
Information. We go over, and I said, have you had any keys turned in? And she said, hold on just a second. And she goes over, and she's being helpful, but she's being cagey at the same time.
In what way?
You know, in that she's somehow concerned that we might be the great key thieves,
Bonnie and Clyde,
of Southwest Florida, right? That's the you're deal, Wade.
Grab some keys and steal some sort of Crown Vic.
Let's go out and in the parking lot of 8,000 cars, figure out which one this key belongs to, and then it'll be ours forever, you cow. So she does a little Q&A, and then she says, what type of keys? I said, one is a key for this car, one is a key for that car, and it's and the one that's for that
set.
Car
yeah.
is broken. It's got a little piece off the fob. It's very recognizable. She said, okay. Like she's satisfied. It's like, I'm glad, Inspector Gadget, that you finally got satisfied that the Inquisition worked.
I'll allow it.
All right. Okay. So she brings out the keys. And I go, oh, thank God. And then she says, and there was something else returned with this too. And I'm like, and suddenly the mind eraser, and I'm going, what was it? And then she smiles like a cagey. I said, what? Well, you know, can you just tell me what you think it might be? I said, ma'am, I'm having a squash brain moment to start with. I really don't want to play this game right now. She said, well, what goes along with keys? I said, did I make it clear that I don't know? Oh, is there something else that was returned? And then Carla goes, phone? And I go, I said, was it a cell phone with the maroon case? And she again gives the look of it.
There
and she
we
reaches
go.
Over and hands it to me. And I'm like, okay, Twitisha, thanks so much for that. I really appreciate that. Have a great day, making this more stressful. And then we're walking away, and I'm silent. I'm silent from the ballpark all the way home because I'm thinking, you know, I'm going. It's going. It's beginning to fail. And you if it does fail, you heard it here first.
Mike.
Just add it to the list of maladies. You know I'm in failing.
Does it start with an A or a D, your failure?
Yeah.
Could be either one, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Oscar, do you want to be the one that tells him, or should I tell him that he told this story yesterday?
That's funny.
Now, that is evil and not nice, but hilarious.
I know for a fact that the three of us have all done that, so that doesn't matter. We've all forgotten that we've told a story.
We have.
Because we do a lot of content, and we do that every day. So I was just a little wigged out, and I'm still
That's
a little
scary.
Frenetic. Now,
it
here's
is.
The thing. Let me tell you how it went down. This is the only thing that might save me in this.
Yeah.
I left my keys at the concession stand when I left the ballpark and left Carla in the seat when I took the little guy and went to the ATM and then went to the concession stand to get him popcorn. That's what, and
you
and
were distracted because of the little guy.
The little guy, and apparently, I think I have, at the best case scenario, worst case scenario, every brain malady known to mankind. Best case scenario, I have mommy brain. I have what
could
is
be.
Officially
could be.
Mommy brain. And the fact is that, and I was also sneaking a hot dog.
See, that's the layer of the cake, Mike, that really will put you into that diabetic shock as far as your brain is concerned.
This is true.
Because you want to make sure your son's alive, you want him to pay for the goods, and you also want him to sneak some complex carbs in you.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, but that low blood sugar can make you forgetful. That hot dog, if you had eaten it sooner, might have actually saved you.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. Bottom line is, I snuck the hot dog. I mean, I had to eat the hot dog
that
before I got
awesome.
Back to the seat.
Did the lady
say? Because I didn't want Carla to say, what do you have in your hand? Because she would have said, put it down.
What would have been great is if the lady
said, what's in your hand? It's a hot dog. Put it away. Put your triglycerides away, please.
You know? She hands you the keys and you describe and you get your cell phone back. She says, and did you also lose some mustard packets?
do you think
there's
that
mustard on these keys?
Carla has
didn't put any mustard on. It was like, I ate it seriously like a dog in a cartoon.
Has she trained your son so well that maybe when they are in private, she will eventually ask your son what you've eaten all day? Like that'll be.
I don't
some
know
sort
whether
of,
we're oh, there yet, but okay. I think he could have. I think she could easily have said, "Did Daddy have something to eat?" And he would have said, "Hot dog."
Yeah,
and it was like,
but you've got 10 years before he willfully rats you out like my boy does.
I'll be dead by then.
Yeah, doesn't sure. Well, you okay. see, there's every story has a silver lining.
Absolutely, happy, happy, joy, joy. So that's it. Yes, sir. Good day.
I think you're fine, Mike.
Yeah, I do
this
too.
What you call mommy brain.
Yeah, it happens to everybody.
Mommy brain, and every waking hour now, I wake up in the morning and I say, what am I going to forget today? We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need. Didn't forget about that. We'll do that when we come back on the Michael Mara Show.
Rob Mara here to promote Patreon, a new way to support the Rob and Joe Show. Joe doesn't really care enough about the show, so he left. But Rob Spiewak is here with Oscar Santana to help promote the Rob and Joe Show that Joe won't promote.
It's a workshop for being Joe from Rob and Joe. This is Joe caring about the show.
Okay, this is the first.
Yeah, whatever. Patreon, I don't know, get on the web and then give us some money and we'll do a show.
I don't know. I would have stuck around, but it wasn't worth my time. I'm going to do a Kickstarter to see if I get enough money to talk about Patreon.
If I get enough money, maybe I'll go to the doctor to get this cough out of the way.
Ha! Well, I'm sold. That's patreon.com/RobinJoeShow. patreon.com/RobinJoeShow. You get a bonus show. It's actually only $5 a month. But if you give $1,000, I will murder Joe live on the air.
Great impression.
Joe, is that you?
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
I didn't have time to be there. anyway, going back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the better way to cook because better ingredients always make better food. Blue Apron only uses the highest quality ingredients, and because they ship the perfect amounts right to your door, you don't waste food. Even better, it costs less than $10 a meal. Plus, cooking together builds strong family bonds, and research shows that Blue Apron families cook together 3 times more often. It's a fun way to have family time, and there's nothing that is more exciting in the O'Mara household than when we get our box of Blue Apron
with
perfectly pre-proportioned ingredients that make delicious home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less, and you eat great food. Good, delicious stuff like salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, or vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips.
Mm.
So delicious, so different. It sure beats the same old, same old. Plus, Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Check out Carla O'Mara's Facebook page to see what she's cooking for Blue Apron tonight. Check out this week's menu and get 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS, people. Blue Apron is a better way to cook.
News!
Woo! All right, boo. gun a little bit.
It happens to all guys, Mike.
Yes, thank you. Premature news stager. Let me start it again.
News.
Thanks. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll shake you today. Look at that shake. Look at that. Look at my hand. Look at my hand shake.
Mike, I just got a note from your homeowners associate. Said it might be nice if you waited till you stopped talking before you hit the news stager.
Thank you very much. Passive aggressive. The Best Picture tobacco was not the only screw-up at the Oscars. They also botched the In Memoriam segment, In Memoriam, by including someone who's still alive.
Oh,
that's
a drag.
Big deal.
That's so funny. Now, this speaks to my complaint yesterday where, well, you're putting someone on that's not famous. So
right.
That's why. Janet Patterson passed away back in October. She was a costume designer who'd been nominated for 4 Oscars for The Piano, Portrait of a Lady, Oscar and Lucinda, and Bright Star. Her name was correct in the montage, but the photo was not. The photo is not because no one knows who the F she is, and that's maybe why you shouldn't put people who nobody knows who the F they are.
And, you know, just really, when you went with the headline, they botched the memoriam segment, they botched it by making it lousy. That's how they botched
terrible.
It. Yeah.
They really, really. They, and that used to be so well done.
Yep.
They don't care. They showed Jan Chapman, a producer who's still with us. She says, quote, "I was devastated by the use of my image in place of my great friend." Oh, isn't that the kind of person when you have a screw up like this that you want them? Here's the quote. "I was devastated by the use of my image in place of my great friend and longtime collaborator, Janet Patterson. It is very disappointing that the error was not picked up. I am alive and well and an active producer.
I am so heartbroken that everyone's talking about me."
Do you think it's overstating to say, based on that quote, there might be some people out there that wish you were dead?
Maybe next year, Patterson.
The actual dead people who were snubbed, and this is the big mistake, yeah, in my opinion. Here are the people that were not included. Gary Shandling should have been in there. I don't care if he's in movies or not.
Dare
he
they.
Was in a couple of movies.
Yeah.
Robert Vaughn and Doris Roberts. And Patricia Arquette says she's bummed her sister Alexis wasn't featured.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, Gary Shandling, a huge oversight.
Yeah, I thought they should have put them in there. Atlanta receiver Mohamed Sanu knows why the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead and lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots. It was Lady Gaga's fault.
Gaga?
Sort of. As usual, the Super Bowl's halftime was longer than it is for another game, and Sanu thinks it took them out of their game. On the NFL Network's Good Morning Football, he said, quote, "It definitely did, because usually halftime is only like 15 minutes, and when you're not on the field for like an hour, it's just like going to work out. Like a great workout, and you go sit on the couch for an hour and then try to start working out again." But the problem is the Patriots had the same problem.
That's
so it
true.
Doesn't count. It's a push. It's a wash. So that's why you don't whine and you accept responsibility. But
I thought maybe he was going to say that Gaga dropped a pass or something, because I didn't see that happen.
No, she actually caught one.
That's right. That's
said they got tight. They got tight during the game. Yes, she did. She caught a nice pass and then jumped into some pit.
She's remember still that? There, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I heard from the people of Atlanta she's still in a pit.
Is there someone that could maybe let me out of here now, please? Thank you.
Don't you like Houston, lady?
Bob Harper.
Bob Harper!
Anyone know that name, Bob Harper?
Didn't he live in Mayberry?
No. He's one of the trainers, the good-looking guy on
The Biggest Loser.
Oh, okay.
That dreamboat.
He was at the gym working out when his heart decided to quit on him. A doctor who just happened to be there kept him alive with CPR and defibrillation paddles. He posted a few messages on Instagram yesterday saying he's on the mend and thanked their fans for their support. So why, when the guy's whole life is fitness, did he have a heart attack anyway? Genetics.
Really?
Yeah, he told TMZ his mom died from one. So
wow,
my God.
It's genetics. It doesn't matter how in shape you are. And he was working out, and it happened. And thank God they were able to keep him alive.
Exercise will kill you every time.
Long and productive life. Thank you.
Meanwhile, we're going after this.
I know.
Jeez.
Are you looking forward to it?
Actually, we can't go today because of some issue with the DMV that I need to correct, but we will go tomorrow. We went yesterday.
Is he canceling?
No, we went yesterday.
We did great yesterday.
Yeah.
What's the matter with the DMV?
The DMV is a whole tale with Carrie that probably should wait for another show. But
can we lead tomorrow with Carrie in the basketball game?
Yes. Did you know that
horrible tweets and texts and messages? Carrie, the terrible online community. Have you thought about forbidding her from ever putting anything online?
Mike, I'd like
to
forbid her from leaving the house. We have to alter some things. Did you know it's illegal to drive around without a front license plate?
In Virginia.
Yeah, right? It is.
Yeah. Florida, we don't need them.
Or helmets.
Great state of Florida. Or, you know, you can keep your meth in the car, too. A new study found the percentage of people living in every state who were born there. In other words, it ranked the states by how likely people are basically
to remain there,
state
yeah.
forever. And more than three quarters of the people living in Louisiana, Michigan, and Ohio right now were born there. There are 10 states where more than 69% of the people currently living there were also born there. Louisiana, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Mississippi, Wisconsin, Iowa,
hey.
Our friends in Iowa, Alabama, West Virginia, and Kentucky. I just don't know whether there is some kind of a theme.
You know, I don't know if I would count or not. I was born in Georgetown Hospital, but I remain in Virginia my entire life. Do you think I would qualify for that? Because it's just a few miles over the border.
I think, you can make a case for it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, where were you born?
Georgetown Hospital.
Oh, in D.C.
Yeah, so over the line, over the line.
Well, who knows whether you're going to stay?
That's true. That's true.
You don't know, really, because, you know, I'd like to, if the performance continues, I'm moving you down here. That's it. Yes, sir.
Vote for Myers.
Just to recap, everybody, let's see here. Louisiana.
What are some of the key states, Mike?
Key states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, West Virginia, and Kentucky. I don't know why that.
I don't see a thread there.
The 10 states with the smallest percentage of people who were born there are Nevada, Florida, hey, my state, Arizona, Wyoming, Alaska, New Hampshire, Colorado, Delaware, Oregon, and Maryland. That's the transient.
I wonder, I was going to say, some of those would be people that left, but I would think Florida would be people that went there after the fact. Because it's a good
nice
destination
place.
Retire,
right?
Exactly. A therapist recently posted at least a list online, not at least online, a list online of 8 signs you're on the verge of a breakdown. Only a few of them apply. If only a few of them, you might be a little stressed out, but if they all sound way too familiar, take it seriously. You know, everybody weigh in on where this.
All right.
You have escape fantasies, like you want to pick up and leave everything behind. Anyone? Do you either one of you ever?
No, I don't have escape fantasies.
No, I actually, I don't want to ever run away. I like to run into a problem.
Okay. Let me see. Escape fantasies, me on that one. Well, I'll use sound. All right.
Okay.
Bell for yes, buzzer for no. Escape fantasies, so like you want to run and leave. Number two, you feel like you feel like you have no downtime, which is common if you have kids, but it also can be a sign of anxiety and depression. Yeah, I feel like you have no downtime, Rob.
No, no, I don't feel that way.
Oscar Santana.
I think most of us in the room are optimistic, and we want the best for everybody. So yeah, I don't feel like I don't have downtime, but I've made my bed.
Yeah,
my turn here. Let me see. Okay. All right. You struggle to make simple decisions. It might be because your body's producing too much of the stress hormone cortisol. Do you struggle to make simple decisions?
I do pretty good with decisions, I think.
All right. Oscar?
I think you have to make decisions in order to struggle with them. And yes, I do pretty well.
I do pretty well, so I'm going to give that a no. Yeah. That's good. You've stopped socializing completely. You don't even want to because you're too overwhelmed with everything else, so it feels like work. I know you both socialize.
Love
we
people.
We all get the no for that, and me too. I socialize. I love to. Thank you. You can't sleep. Classic sign of anxiety and depression. Rob Spiewak.
I love to sleep. Perfect.
Oscar Santana, you have trouble sleeping.
I have trouble sometimes now. I have a friend named Shmom Shmiewak that helped me out.
Yes.
Okay, so you do that, but I'm going to put that as a yes for you, but a no for me because I don't have any problem with sleep. You're having panic attacks. I used to. I had a couple on the old Don and Mike show, but I don't have them anymore. So either one of you guys?
No.
Panic attacks?
No panic.
No panic attacks. Mm-hmm. Panic attacks are for pussies.
Hispanic attacks.
More.
What?
I have to make it more. Pony, do you have panic attacks? You ever have panic attacks?
No, I don't.
Okay, I got to make that a tougher work environment for all of you.
Mike. Well, I don't think that would be fair for anyone because, realistically speaking, if we panic, we fail.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
right?
No panic attacks.
Just
here.
Keep us on the edge, like Pony is currently.
Here we go. Number 7, you're self-sabotaging. A common example is going out drinking when you know you have to wake up early. Stress eating is another one. Anybody self-sabotage?
All the time.
Oh, I eat all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
After we worked out yesterday, I had 2 bags of chips.
All right, that's 3 of us self-sabotaging. And number 8, it feels like you keep failing at everything.
Oh, I hate when people say that.
Which probably isn't true, but if you feel like you're constantly failing at work and at home, you might be depressed.
Oh, look at me. I'm on the poster for that.
Do you have screwed up at work a few times lately. Do you feel that way, though? Do you feel like you fail at everything?
I don't fail at everything, but I do feel that when you fail at something or make a serious misstep, I think it sets you up for a series of it because I think you start doubting yourself.
It's compounding.
I think the question really is, you feel like, what do you feel? Do you feel
I don't
like
feel
you
like I fail at everything. No.
All right.
No.
And Oscar, do you feel like you keep failing at everything?
The only times I feel like I'm failing are when things that aren't really that important to me have to just be put by the wayside, like my relationship. Mm-hmm. And work's the most important thing, Mike. So at work, I think I'm knocking it out of the park.
Look, I don't feel like it either. I feel like I win a lot.
Yeah.
So that's kind
of we have to win, Mike, because if we don't win,
we lose.
Die.
So it really seems like I didn't ask Pony any of these, but I think I don't feel like there's a nervous breakdown coming with anybody.
Exactly. That sucks because that would be a great bonus show.
Mac.
Yeah, that'd be a fantastic. Yeah, Mac, good luck. And now a little something. And I will apologize prior to this kicker.
Good.
Because sometimes I have given Rob Spiewak a tremendous amount of difficulty over his love of puns. I believe today a lightning bolt hit me and I understood the total self-absorbed joy one gets with one's own puns.
Okay.
That's all I will say.
All right.
Someone at a McDonald's near Austin, Texas, called the cops earlier this month after a 38-year-old guy named Alex Pickles started walking around with his pants around his ankles and his junk exposed. By the time the cops got there, he was at a nearby bus stop with his pants still around his ankles. Yeah. When they tried to arrest him, he elbowed a cop twice in the face, and he ran. They tried to tase him at least three times, but ironically, it didn't work because he had too many layers of clothing on. Apparently, Mr. Pickles had pulled up his pants by then. They eventually used pepper spray. Then he slipped in mud while he was trying to get away, and they got the handcuffs on him and took him away. He is facing up to 10 years in prison for assaulting an officer. That's the big no-no for Mr. Pickles.
Sure.
He also has a very large family because after his arrest, they had to use a special room for his relatives since there was no place big enough to hold the pickles. Thank you very, very much. I'm sorry.
Mike, you took a great big step today, and I'm proud of you.
That's Mr. O'Meara may have written an entire paragraph just to get a fake pun in there.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Hold the pickles. It's brought me joy all morning.
Here comes the breakdown.
Yes, it is. Probably didn't need to explain it, but it sure was fun. When I go, once that second day in a row, I went in to see my wife. Hey, honey, hold the pickles. Pretty funny, huh? We'll take a break.
She said, where's your phone?
We'll take a break and come back with Rob's little sounds right after this.
Hello? Hello, it's me, Pedro. I don't have much to say, but I wanted to tell you that while I ride my bike to school, I like to listen to the Cake and Cookie Show with Rob and Katie. They're really good. I was looking for a podcast about putting cakes or something, and it wasn't until a few episodes in that I realized that Cake and Cookies wasn't about cake or cookies. But I still like Rob and Katie, so I still listen. You can find them on iTunes or on the Michael Mara Show app. I'm feeling really hot. I'm going to go home and lie down.
Cake and Cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Thank you, Pedro. If you don't subscribe to the TMOS bonus show, you don't know what you're missing. 100% organic, 100% fun, without the burden of commercials or censorship. We never know where we're going or where we're going to end up, and that's the fun of the bonus show. Be a part of the fun. Subscribe to the TMOS bonus package. Yes, we tell you all year that you can do that, because once you sign up, you get it for a full year afterwards.
Right.
It's that easy. Whether you want to buy it, give it, or renew it, click that bonus banner and get her done. Plus, it's a great way to support TMOS. The future of the show depends on it. The TMOS bonus package, delightful content for the most discriminated for the most discriminated against TMOS minority. Treat yourself. You've earned it. Thank you very much. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Feb 28, 2017. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Before we put a button on all the Oscar stuff, you and I yesterday, we agreed that Jimmy Kimmel was just a great host. And yep. to me, he sort of reminded me of the way Carson used to do it.
Mixed
Not a
reviews,
lot of gimmickry.
By the way.
Yeah, mixed, yeah, mixed reviews. And yeah. low ratings, which shocked yep. me. Uh-huh. But he did not just a marvelous job on the show, but on his late night show, he did a wonderful recap of all the things that went down. And mm-hmm. this is a very, very funny little segment here when he talks about when he realized the envelope thing got screwed up.
Right.
And you don't realize as the host, you know, he shouldn't have to think about mm-hmm. that. That stuff yep. should just be mechanical. Mm-hmm. So this is what went through his mind.
And I'm now sitting in the audience watching these speeches. The plan is for me to end the show from the audience in a seat next to Matt Damon, who, I want to make no mistake about whatever confusion there was about who won, Matt Damon lost.
I love that bit.
And we noticed some commotion going on, and Matt says, I think I heard the stage manager say they got the winner wrong. Because the stage manager is on. The stage manager is never on camera. It's very unusual. But so we're sitting there, and you just kind of figure, well, you know, the host will go on stage and clear this up. And then I remember, oh, I'm the host.
So think about it from his viewpoint. He's right. got
he's
one
done,
more
basically.
Line. And he's done for the night, and this whole thing gets dropped in his lap. It makes me think a little bit better of how he handled it because yeah. it was that unexpected.
Yeah. I think we're fans, and we gave him a positive review. I was kind of surprised to read that they thought it was kind of mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I mean,
everyone.
No, you can't. You really can't.
No.
And low rated. Maybe low rated because people are tired of the 9-hour telecast.
And I think they're also, you know what? I think that the 10 nominees for Best Picture is a misstep.
I think it is, too.
I think you need to really focus on the topic. But
tighten
we'll see.
It up, people.
We'll see what happens next year. This is not the first time an envelope screw-up happened. Did you know what happened in 1963 when Sammy Davis Jr. was presenting?
I read that. Yeah.
And this is a really great little piece of tape.
And the winner is John Addison for Tom Jones. They gave me the wrong envelope. Wait till the NAACP hears about this.
There you go. How do pros do it?
That's yeah. great, isn't
How
it?
How do pros do it?
That's the way you do it. The wham of Sam right there.
God,
that's excellent.
Sammy, that's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Now, Oscar, yeah. this will yes. probably be the last time I play you a Bachelor tape this season because they sent Corinne home.
This I did not see coming.
No, I thought they'd keep her to the last episode.
Yeah, and
she the baby talker?
Yes.
She was ratings gold, though, Mike, because the Bachelor himself was his own locker room cancer.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only one that was ruining the show.
Yeah. So Corinne says goodbye, but today's award goes to Bachelorette Raven, who got to go to the fantasy suite
Ooh.
With the Bachelor last night.
Now, do they bang there? Do they bang in
they
the
have,
fantasy
what
suite?
What happened is they go to, oh. I think they went to Iceland or somewhere in Europe. And yes, Mike.
Okay.
As
you didn't
he
need
said.
Twice. Thank you.
But they have the opportunity to share the fantasy suite. And
right.
they took that opportunity. But I think Raven might have overshared last night.
I need to remind you of two things.
Okay.
By the way, another baby talker.
Do they all sound like these idiot baby talkers?
Yeah, they all sound alike.
I need to remind you of two things.
Okay.
One, I've only been with one person.
Okay.
The second thing is that my last boyfriend, my ex, who I was intimate with, never made me orgasm.
Run.
Lost for words.
Yeah, was not expecting that.
Just so you
wow,
know,
what a great way to set the table. No performance anxiety in that, but what a
no.
dope.
And I'm sure the ex-boyfriend was pleased.
Wow.
At that moment when Raven said that, that was the only thing on ABC. I just want you to keep that in mind.
Know this, you're setting the table. You're basically telling Nick he's going to have to do work.
Yeah.
B.
Yeah.
Let's
work.
You're also wow. slandering your ex-boyfriend and calling yourself right. a needy lover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this right. doesn't work out for anyone.
Yeah.
Right. Good Raven, who's the other one? Blue Jay? What's going on with that?
And the next scene, we got to see the Bachelor visit the Lincoln Tunnel. Good luck to him in the fantasy suite. I guess maybe we can get an update next week to see if he gets the job done.
Well, yeah, it's coming to a head. He's going to have to choose someone.
I want to do something and tell you something completely awful.
What's that?
It doesn't matter because I'm using my baby voice.
Let us close with this. New research on people with ADHD. And this is going to really, I think this is going to be a game changer.
New research just came out, and it finds that people who have ADHD literally have different brains than the rest of us. Yeah. When told this, people with ADHD said, I like pancakes.
It's your magic audio vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
I love it.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's our snail mail address, TMOS PO Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. If you want to send a birthday or message or any letter of any kind on any subject, we are encouraging you to do so for the weekly mailbag. Doesn't have to be birthdays and I love my wife and all that. No, we like just you want to bitch about something, you know? Want to tell us
get it off your chest.
Yeah.
Listen to what I do every day. Listen to what Rob and Oscar do every day. Send us a letter like that.
Hey, mail for Pony.
Sound off.
Absolutely. Like hey, mail for anybody. It's Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Boy, we're going to get inundated this week. That's right. Hate mail. Some particular person you don't like on the show.
Honey, please. Where's my fountain pen?
Thanks for all the years of amazing support for TMOS and continue to spread the word about our show all over the world. For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and our executive producer, Matt Ponyboy Bloom, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.